Welcome back, everyone. My name is Meg Kruger. I'm the content specialist with Pioneer, and I'm very excited to invite our next guest to the series, Ms. Kelly Lynch. I had the opportunity to join her at the Women's Forum down at Sunny Savannah, SFMA. So I got a lot from it, hoping to get some of the nuggets that you kind of shared with us down in Savannah here on the Groundskeeper Chat. But also we want to just, you know, advocate for the turf industry and advocate for more opportunities that you're going to kind of tap into. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have been doing the past couple of years. So I'll stop babbling. I'll let you take it away. If you'd love to introduce yourself, that's a great place to start.
Well, Meg, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm sorry that I had to leave the SFMAs early and I didn't get to do this live with you, but I love that we're getting to catch up this way today. Yeah, I'm Kelly Lynch and they call me the Pure Seed Chick. They've called me Chick Pro. They've called me a lot of things, but to be one of the turf chicks, I think, is probably the pinnacle of my career. I've had a really wild ride professionally, done a lot of really cool things, and I think it's been really rewarding for me personally to be, they call me Queen Bee. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but to kind of to lead the way and to create not only an awareness, but a space and to teach women like myself, those that have come before me that paved the way for me and those that are coming after me, that you deserve that seat at the table and how to be at that table. And I was interviewed not too long ago and I spoke on being at that table was a privilege because it's usually myself and mostly middle-aged men. And the interviewer was like, well, why would that be a privilege? I go, because I have a voice. And if I'm willing to use that voice at that table, then watch what happens. And if you kind of look at what's happened, and certainly I always say it's not me sitting here, standing here. It's all of those that are standing here with me that you can't see. It's certainly been a movement, but it's really been probably for me, like I said, the pinnacle of my career. And I honestly didn't think it was going to happen in my professional career lifetime. You know, I do plan to retire at some point. So it's fun to get to be able to enjoy it right now.
Yeah. And I love, you know, that sentiment of, you know, finding a seat at the table, because for all groundskeepers, that's such an important element of, you know, their gig is making sure that they're taken seriously by their members, by higher ups, by decision makers, and especially for a woman in a leadership role or just starting out, to get that seat at the table is such an important thing to really encourage, you know, early on in their career. And, you know, you've had kind of a whirlwind journey that has led you here in the turf industry. So if we want to start there, I would love for you to just kind of share about, touch on some of those highlights, how you've ended up in the position that you're in now.
Yeah, it has been a wild ride. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version because it's even when I say it out loud these days, it really seems hard to believe that that's happened in my lifetime. But it really all started for me. I was very athletic growing up. And one day our next door neighbor knocked on the door and asked if I practiced golf like I did all these other sports, that he would teach me how to play. And that knock on the door changed the course of my life. That was Joe Teal. Who happened to be my neighbor growing up. And he still to this day is one of the top 100 instructors in the world.
Wow.
And it changed the course of my life. So I learned to play golf. I worked for Joe for several years, actually turned professional early when I was 18 and went through the PGA. So I'm a class A PGA and my undergrad, which was business administration simultaneously. And one of my greatest privileges in life was, or honors, I should say, was to receive my PGA credential from Joe, who was the president of the Pacific Northwest section.
Wow.
So that was a neat time frame for me to be able to pay it forward, if you will, because he believed in me so vehemently. I tried to play for many years. I have had three major shoulder surgeries that kept me from the tour. But it actually, you know, at the time, it didn't seem like a blessing, but it really became a blessing because I ended up coaching Division I athletics for many years. I worked my way through the industry in the golf side as a teaching professional, as a Division I coach, and I'm the one percentile to have coached Division I men's and women's athletics.
Wow.
And professional athletics. Yeah. And so it kind of, you know, it was once I learned how to do it, it was easy for me to teach others, and I'm just a coach at heart. And so it really helped me, you know, on the path. And then many years later, I was the director of golf at a really nice country club, you know, and I was finally it. I'd finally made it. That was another pinnacle career moment. And I got recruited by a seed company. They wanted a gal who knew golf and could play and understood golf, but to come on to the seed side. And so that was about 8 years ago. And that again changed my life. I had another pinnacle privilege moment, Dr. Leah Brillman, and I worked for the same company, and she was my seed goddess, and she just helped me fall in love with the industry and the people and the seed. And then about 4.5 years ago, I recruited myself to work with Crystal Rose Fricker and Pure Seed, because I really admired not only herself, but Dr. Melody Frazier, who runs our North Carolina Research Farm. And then just everything that the company was built on, family owned, and really, really valued the relationships in the industry. So here I am at eight plus years and counting. And it's been an absolute blast. I couldn't even really tell you where the time has gone. And I actually walked into the room as a Class A PGA. I was typically one of very, very few women in the room for most of my career. And then to walk into this side of the industry and even have fewer women, you know, in the room was kind of shocking to me. So now I've spent the last 8 years high-fiving all those gals, figuring out who they are, making sure that they're not standing in the room alone, introducing them when I can, because I've had the privilege to be at a lot of those tables, and make sure that their voice is heard as well. So
I love
it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, it definitely. And I caught that, you know, from your talk at the forum. And one thing, just from being down at SFMA and doing this for the past several years, there's no like clean cut route to this industry, it seems like. And it really seems like people are able to find a home here, whether it's right out of college or whether it's, you know, right before they want to hang up their cleats. It's really an industry that allows for people to kind of find it wherever they are in their journey. So how have you really benefited from that? And what about the industry has allowed you to, you know, kind of have this journey that you just described?
Well, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because as we sat in the room at the U.S. Women's Open at the Olympic Club, where we broke the grass ceiling this last year, I believe the majority of the women in that room, of those 30, were not initially in the turf side. Mm-hmm. They were in doing something else and then fell in love with it, realized it was an option as a career, and then pursued it post. And like myself. And I think that to me is the open door scenario, mm-hmm. right? Like it's never too late. And as the more education that we can get out there in Oregon, we participate in Adopt a Farmer program, basically the same idea, like helping on the ag side, youth especially understand that there's a very viable career on the ag side. And I think the same goes through to our professions and all the uniqueness. We can do so many things in this profession. Like you can be on the field side, you can be on the DM side, the administrative side, you can be on the sales side, you can be what you do. You know, there's so many layers to it. And I think we get trapped in a scenario where it's like, oh, that's just what the guys do. And I'm not really, that's not really. And then, or having to be one of the guys in order to do that. And I think that's also something that's really changing. Especially, and I've had the privilege to speak all over this year at different events. And each time somebody comes up to me, typically a male, and says, okay, how do I find you? Like I'm looking for you, but I don't know how to find you. So they're even becoming more, we're more connected, into the group. We have a WhatsApp that we, that we ask questions on and that we reach out to, and somebody has a job to post, now we can post it. And now you're reaching, I don't know, I don't even know how many people are on that WhatsApp now, but all these different women. And maybe it's not a female that you're looking for, but it's just the resource.
Yeah,
and a different perspective. And so I think we're also finding a way to build bridges, if you will. I mean, I'm just a bridge builder, and I have been my whole career. If I really look back at it, somebody asked me the other day how I've been so successful in all these different venues. And it's really, I just a bridge builder. I know how to get the right people at the right table at the right time. Yeah. And then I have the privilege to sit back and watch what happens, you know? And so I feel like the same thing is happening in our industry right now, you know, with Troy Flanagan. He's the director at the Olympic Club. And it was his vision 5 years ago when they were going to play host the US Women's Open, that he thought, wouldn't it be great if we had a female, mostly female turf team? And first time in history. And all it took was one champion, our champion, Troy Flanagan. And because of his belief and the vendors that came with him, the support that's come with him and continues still, we're going to Pine Needles this year, and Bubba's already committed to Pebble Beach in 23. And so all we needed was somebody to believe, somebody to help, somebody to lend a hand, and then let us prove you're right, you know? And so now I'm a little giddy because it's happening, and it's happening so quickly. You know, if you just look at the GCSAA show that we're at, way more female presenters, way more women involved, whether it's a panel, or I had the privilege to be the MC for the lightning rounds, you know, things that were traditionally, you know, male dominated are now becoming more equitable. And yeah. I think it's time. Wow, get off my soapbox. Whoa. You know how much I love the guys. So I always have to go forward and say, I love the guys, and I've had amazing male mentors in my life, but really, I had one of the guys come up to me and say, you know, we didn't have a clue because we didn't know any different. We didn't know that you felt, you know, disincluded, or that you didn't feel, you know, like, we didn't know that because we walk in the room and it's all the guys. You don't think anything of it. And so it's been really interesting to kind of see that come forward and really embraced. And all we needed was a few believers, you know, like yourself. Look at what you're doing, like with the interviews and the women in turf and all the things that you're doing to not only promote what's possible, but that shoring up what the support looks like and being able to be advocates for each other.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it really, it just stems from inspiring stories like yours and what you guys were able to accomplish this past year. And I mean, I don't think there was a single person that was able to watch that YouTube video of breaking the glass ceiling that didn't get chills. I mean, those are the kind of sports stories that people love. And for so long, we've, you know, as groundskeeper, wanted to be in the background, you know. You want things to go seamlessly and perfect and have nobody know that what even went into it. But those are the kind of stories that I want to bring to the forefront because they're fascinating and they're inspiring. And really, this industry is so unique. And I just think that if other industries in our world kind of replicated what we kind of have created here, it would be so much, such a special thing to see. And that really is because, you know, this wealth of knowledge and this mentorship is so accessible, and everyone, a friend said this the other day, Max Casper with the Reno Aces, he was at the forum as well. That's where I met him. But he said, you know, when he was on a different side of the industry, there were wins and losses, and there was a competition because of that. But on the turf side, it's like, there are no wins or losses. Everyone wants each other to succeed. We all want to see, you know, the best greens that you could put out there, the best field that you could put on display. And I think that's something that's so unique about the turf industry. And you know, you've mentioned it before and a little bit in this chat about mentors who really, you know, gave you that, that chance or that knock on the door that changed your life. And how has that really, you know, impacted your career? And how do you look to kind of pay that forward when it comes to mentorship?
Wow. That's a powerful question. You know, And I think the gift to me has come in many vignettes, many moments, right? Where I've done a lot of crazy things because I just believed, you know, mm-hmm. I had an amazing, my dad, absolutely my hero, God rest his soul. He really believed in me no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of things that were non-traditional. You know, I had a business degree. He always said, as long as you get a business degree, you can do whatever you want, because then that was my fallback, right? So it was very important to him that I had, my undergrad was business administration. But beyond that, you know, he knew, he was my biggest hero, my biggest fan. And I think I shared this at the forum, at the luncheon, but he was diagnosed with lung cancer, mm-hmm. and not realizing how sick he was. I had been trying for the PGA Tour with a former teammate of mine in a high school team. I played on the boys team, and Glenn and I were trying for the PGA Tour, and we missed the cut that we shouldn't have missed. We missed the putt that we shouldn't have missed. We missed the cut that we shouldn't have missed. Like, it was all these different things. And it wasn't until that moment that my dad during that time said, well, maybe you could come home for a while. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe I could come. I've been gone for a long time at this point. And I'm like, yeah, I'd come home. So I flew home, and he said, you know, they shared how sick. We knew he was sick, but we didn't know how quickly it was progressing. And he wasn't going to tell me. Of course, I'm trying for the tour, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so during that time, he said, honey, I dare you to live. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Dad, why didn't you ever say anything? He's like, you're so damn busy. You could never hear me, but you can hear me now. I'm out. My time's done. So what would you do if you knew, you know, that the clock was ticking? And so that really helped me, you know, mentor and or hero, that it was my dad. And that really, and he died too soon. I had the privilege, another one, to sit at the table to be there with him, because he wanted to pass at home. And it, to anybody who's gone through that, wow, my props to you. Like, that is, that's probably one of the most challenging things I've ever done in my life, but also the most rewarding. And so that really helped me kind of, you know, I shared the story of Joe Teal. I shared the story of my dad. But then then fast forward, as I learned some of these peanut butter stories, right? We talk about the peanut butter story, and unfortunately along the way, I had learned, you know, in life, we have one jar of peanut butter. And today you give me some peanut butter, I give you some peanut butter. It's a good day, right? But I also had the tendency to align with those who needed my peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And they would take my peanut butter and I would give it. I had a lot of peanut butter, and not realizing that the more people needed my peanut butter, the more I gave it away, the less I had for me. And so I'd be at these really cool junctures in my life, but completely empty, having mm-hmm. given everything that I had. And it wasn't until I met my wife, Marty, and she taught me the peanut butter story, essentially. I turned it into peanut butter to make it a little less, you know, a little more welcoming. but basically, if you don't keep your peanut butter full, and you take care of yourself, mm-hmm. right, then you don't have what's really needed to take care of anyone else, let alone whatever, it's your job, your relationship, your whatever it is, it's gonna show up. Your spiritual, emotional, physical, mental, it's gonna show up at some point, trust me. Mm-hmm. I'm the expert on that. And so I would put Marty as not only my partner, but my spouse and my hero and my mentor. And that to me kind of allowed me to open up, you know, to own being full, to learn how to ask for what I needed, mm-hmm. to learn how to say no. That was a hard lesson for me, mm-hmm. To learn how to put myself in environments, where they're successful, but I'm successful too. And it's not at my cost. It's not at my expense. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think that's another scenario in this, industry and path that we've chosen, it's easy to be a workaholic. I have a really strong track record of being a workaholic, mm-hmm. but no one wins. They might win in you know, whoever took advantage of that might win, but ultimately no one wins because there's burnout, there's fatigue. I had chronic fatigue syndrome really bad and I didn't even know it. Mm-hmm. And I could just run on empty. And so as I learned these lessons, and if you talk about mentors, but really mentors are people who make you brave and people mm-hmm. who love you no matter what. I love it. You know, I think Oprah says, it's always awesome for the people that'll get in the limo with you, but yeah. who's going to ride the bus with you? Right. And that to me personally, that I've really had to learn that lesson. And once I've learned how to keep my peanut butter full and then how to continue to fill each other up, that's now my new mission in life, if you will. And then when you talk about mentoring, I think exactly what we're doing right now, you know, mm-hmm. I had the privilege again to be at the US Women's Open with all those amazing gals whom I had high-fived over so many years. And between Kimberly Gard and myself and some others, we managed to really bring in a top-notch team. Well, my intention was to bring in the Sun Rose Lines and the Christy Clays mm-hmm. and the Nina Oldenkamps because they are they're in the same industry, but often golf would foreshadow anything on the turf side. And I think that's wrong. I think that we're missing it because all that talent, all the abilities to share that knowledge cross-sectioned into both sides of the industry. And I say sports fields as a big whole, like there's a lot that goes on in there. And so it was my intention now to build relationships, to build mentorships, to build a network that we can reach out across section and across specific paths so that we engage and help each other. In fact, then I can share with you, Nina is the VP at Odie's, and we're actually, most of the speakers that she's bringing in are female to mostly male audience. That's and awesome. You want to talk about trailblazing. And it's several of us who've gathered because of this. So I think the mentorship goes both ways, right? Mm-hmm. I had amazing mentors, and now it's mine to dare others to live, to fill peanut butter up, to teach others to how to maintain their peanut butter, and then really pay attention when that knock on the door comes. Mm-hmm. So many women don't answer that door like, ooh, you know, no, I'm good. Been doing the same thing for, no. You know, and now I'm like, open that door, have a conversation. Let's find out.
So many things that you said resonated with me and I don't even know where to start, but I really loved what you said about a mentor is just somebody that encourages you to be brave. And yeah. I love that because that person can come in so many different forms. It doesn't have to be a gender thing. It doesn't have to be an age thing. It doesn't have to be a position thing. It could really come in so many different forms. And it just made me think like, you know, my dad for sure has been one of those people for me. And just this past week, you know, I have a son at home. He's about two. And so now, of course, that conversation, people start asking, oh, when is he going to get a brother or a sister? And it's like, it's so, I don't think people put into perspective, like it's so hard, you know, having that first kid and managing a career. And then now you're talking second kid and it's so easy for people to be like, well, you could stay at home with them. Wouldn't that be awesome? And it's like, my dad just really encouraged me, like, you're going to be that full person when all of your peanut butter cups are full, you know, and yeah. in the sense that he's encouraged me, you love live music, go and do those things. Like, we'll watch the kid. You love your job. Like, never, ever give that up. Even if you have to take maternity leave after maternity leave, yeah. like yeah. never give up like that sight of this. My job fills my cup so much and I get to talk to inspiring people like you. And it would be, you know, in some sense easier if I just stayed home and had the kids and didn't pay for childcare, but it's like, I won't be that awesome mom that I can be without having this career side of me that, you know, inspires me every day. And I love that, you know, that mentorship came from my dad, but also the peanut butter cup reference is such like, it's so easy to relate to. And it really can resonate with different people, no matter what path of life they're on, but just making sure, you're getting all the things that make you you, and so that you can be the best version of you. So I love that. I love everything that you're able to share with us. And I thank you for sharing, you know, all those different stories about your dad and about Marty. I think that helps paint a bigger picture. You know, the more that we're able to share, the more we're able to relate to each other. So I really thank you for that.
Absolutely. And I think what you just shared is, you know, the more that we are our authentic selves and we don't hide behind a facade and we don't create this who we, you know, it's very exhausting to live, you know, to be two people, you know, mm-hmm. and to be your authentic self and to show up as you. I think that's the biggest gift that you give anyone. Because that authentic self and your authentic being is really what makes you unique and why you're doing what you're doing. So, you know, high five, sister, you just got to keep on, you know,
and that's right. And
I always say, if somebody's got, you know, if my energy is too big or too over, you know, that's okay. That's theirs, not mine. Yeah. You know, and I used to be really, you know, I had a boss be like, hey, no high fives, no, like, you need to tone it down. And then that day I spent, you know, toning it down and behaving, and everyone's like, what is wrong with you? Oh my gosh, you know? And at the very end of that, he comes up and high fives me and tells me, good job for behaving. And I was like, isn't that fascinating? Wow. Isn't that fascinating? The one that told me not to high five is now high fiving me. I'm like, you know what? You don't get to have that privilege anymore. I'm going to take all that back. That's mine, not yours, you know?
Yeah.
And so I feel like we have to own it. And it's a constant. It never goes away, but it gets easier. Yeah.
Well, I think, I don't know if she's the best role model, but Marilyn Monroe said, well-behaved women rarely make history.
That's exactly so
I love
true.
That.
Yes.
And we've touched on it a few times already in the chat, but the one thing I really want to make sure we talk more about is the Trailblazers in Turfgrass and the women's open. Tell us just a little bit more background on that. And, you know, I'm sure that filled your peanut butter cup overflowing, an event like that. And I would just love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, like I said, it was Troy Flanagan's idea. You know, he was certainly our champion. When you know you're going to play host to an open, you know, several years in advance. And so mm-hmm. he had this idea. And if you talk to Troy, I've had the pleasure to spend a lot of time with him because we both are speaking on this a good bit now at different places. And we'll run it by each other. I'm like, okay, we need to get the story, all the details, all the, you know, and then he's calling me now saying, hey, I need to, how's it gone? I'm going to do this at this event. And I want to go over it again, because I think what we're realizing, he didn't know. He's mm-hmm. He's really humble, very, very dedicated, you know, just incredible professional. But he just could not shake it. He's like, I think we should have a female turf team present. And I think it needs to be a big presence. And so when he decided this, knowing that they're going to play host to the Open, and mind you, the Olympic Club didn't even allow female members or minority members until 1990.
Wild.
So, right. So there's a pretty big, you know, pretty big to-do happening. And now they're going to play host the US Women's Open. They're going to bring a female turf team. And so Troy calls, he knows he wants to do it, but he doesn't really know how he's going to do it, because he knows a few, but he doesn't know 30. And so he calls Kimberly Gard. And Kimberly is immediately on board. Her nickname is Magic Purse, and I'll fill you in on that a little bit. But she starts down this list, and she's really connected. And somebody along the way asks her or me or something, says, hey, do you know Kimberly Gard or do you know Kelly Lynch? And we neither of us had knew each other, and we certainly have run in the same circles for years. So she calls and she's like, hey, I heard that you know where some of the gals are. I'm like, yeah, how many do you want? And she's like, how many can you get? I'm like, how many do you want? And so then it was just fun, you know. We kind of recruited this really, really diverse group of gals from all over the U.S. With a lot of different talents and histories and everything that you just shared that made us so unique. And then we all show up in San Francisco, and of course COVID is still really, you know, it's as it is now, it's really a challenge to work around, but they figured it all out. Kimberly literally does not sleep for 7 days, and I am not exaggerating. She not only works full shifts with us, but she also drives a van. She also makes sure we have everything. We call her magic purse because we'd be like, oh, I need some sunblock. She'd be like, magic purse, you know. I need readers. Oh, magic purse. I need chapstick. I, you know, a towel. Like, she just, everything was in her purse. So we just started calling her magic purse.
I love it.
Yeah. And so fast forward now, we're all there. You know, it's going to be an interesting time because Troy has a very accomplished team already. Mm-hmm. It's obviously the, you know, it's the biggest championship in women's in golf, really. And then we all gather and there's a mixed, you know, conversation. There's a lot of Troy's full-time team is his Hispanic or El Salvadorian. So there was going to be a language barrier for some of us. And a lot of us speak broken Spanish and they spoke broken English. But what was really cool is that they went from like the first day, you know, the here we are over here and here they are over there. And then we got teamed up with his crews, and we learned about them. We learned about, you know, who they were and their names and their families and how long they'd been there and all these really, really rich stories of, you know, basically breaking down all the barriers so that we just became one. Mm-hmm. And one night I'm standing on, I don't know what green it is at this point. I think it's 12 green. And we would mow by headlamps. So there would be one of us on each end and then a walk mower, and we'd mow the target line and in the dark. I mean, it's, you know, San Francisco and it's cold and dark. And I, there's a guy up behind me watering a bunker. So they would water bunkers and then rake them all out and tap them all down. And he's like, Kelly. And I'm like, yeah, who is it? And he's like, it's Juan. I have to tell you a story. I'm like, yeah, tell me a story, Juan. He goes, it's really Juanito. I'm like, well, then it's Juanito. Tell me, Juanito, what is the story? He said, Kelly, it's just so amazing. We're all here this week together. And he said, I have two daughters, mm-hmm. and they would be so proud to be here with all of you this week. And you make me proud. And he said, Kelly, when I came to the US, he's from El Salvador, in 1984, there was a civil war. Mm-hmm. And he said, I could not kill my own people. And so he said he fled for the United States with a plastic bag that had two pairs of underwear in it. And he left El Salvador looking for a better life in the mm-hmm. U.S. He didn't speak English. He didn't know where to go. He didn't have anything. He had been there, I think, for 26 years at the club at this point. Mm-hmm. And he said in his, he would be, and his daughters now are, one's a nurse practitioner and one's a legal gal. And he's like, we live here and I have a house and I have a family. And I said, that's how it should be, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said, but you come here this week and you make us all feel like family. You make us all part of this team. And he said, all of you have just absolutely embraced them. And I thought, and I said, but all of you embraced us. He goes, yeah, but you had to go first. You had to go first this time. And I said, okay. And he said, but you know, Kelly, we all cry the same clear tears and we all bleed the same color red. Mm-hmm. And you made us feel like we're one this week. And I'm literally crying now on, you know, and we're hugging and crying. And I just thought, you know, so many of those stories, and I could tell you 10 of those over and over. But what was revealed that week was more of a community mm-hmm. and a shift in a community and an awareness of we all are special. We all breathe the same air. We all drink the same water. We all have the ability to lift each other up. And when we did that, then all it was on. I mean, we were hooting and hollering. Like that was maybe the third day and second day in. And they went from being pretty reluctant, be like, oh, here we go. Here's all these gals, and to being like, let them do whatever they want. Like, this is awesome, you know. And we had epic work ethic. We no, you know, it's unusual to not get a call back during that time where the USGA is now on the golf course and they give a call back and need something done. Mm-hmm. Not one call back all week.
Wow.
Yeah, we worked dark to dark, you know. We took a nap between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. and did it all over again, you know. But I think the gift and then what happened from there, you know, here Pine Needles is David is already, we're already in the works for that. We already have a team. This year, 35 are going. Meg, you got to get in on this. I'm telling you.
I know. I would love to.
Yes. And then Pebble will probably be the same. And then hopefully we'll have established an attraction at that point to carry this forward. We've been invited to do things. Several of the gals, I think five of the gals are doing the men's open. And then we've been invited to do the Solheim Cup. We've been invited to do, I think a couple gals got invited to do Ryder Cup. And so we're also not only sticking in this lane, but trying to really organize so that if some gals can't go to a certain event, that then there would be others that we would have a showing at. I know a handful of us are going down. Alex Hill is at Bay Hill, and the Arnold Palmer coming up in a couple of weeks. And so, yeah, look out. I always say, get in. It'll be fun. I promise. I never dreamed it would be this much fun.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a blast and something that I would love to, you know, assist, help in any way possible. Yeah. Even if it's just, you know, holding a camera in front of your guys' faces the whole time, making sure that everyone hears about it, because it's so exciting. It's so inspiring. And again, just communities coming out of it is the ultimate goal. And I love what you say, you know, not staying in just one lane and, oh, we're going to dominate the U.S. Women's Open for years to come, but, you know, really seeing it spread out into other avenues. I would love to see that happen. And I think Sun mentioned trying to bring it to the sports turf side as well and seeing how we can make it flourish there.
Yeah. Sun's on it and she's president elect. So that should be great timing as well. But yeah, initially, with the success that we've had on this side, then the intention is to build it forward. When you talk about mentoring and looking at some of those things, what would it take? You know, who's going to be the advocate, the champion that shows up and says, actually, you know what? Yeah, I'd like to have a female turf team presence here. What does that look like? Help me. And then we're plug and play now. I mean, we know what it takes. It's, you know, it's pretty much working with their sponsors and understanding what the return on investment is. And if anyone asks about return on investment, just ask John Deere, because what happened, we were on our follow-up calls with several of the vendors post and really just thanking them for the support. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Stuart Hackwell and Rainbird. Because they actually paid for all the flights for all of us to get there. John Deere was a huge, you know, there's so many vendors, and now I'm going to get myself in a pickle because I really should name all of them, because they were huge believers in Troy's vision. When we got on the calls with John Deere after, they're like, okay, what's next? And they actually said, you know, little did they know that all of us would be all over Twitter and social media, and everywhere there said every post there was John Deere in the background somewhere, or sitting, you're driving John Deere, you're right, you know, like all of that. And they said, you know, we would never have imagined the media flurry that came with all of you, and there was no way we could ever quantify what that value was. And so I think part of it is the return on investment. You know, it's the first time that national TV, global TV picked it up. Troy's been doing it for many years, as have so many of that crew. And there, it's like the first time that you keep hearing the grounds and the maintenance and the turf side, that the players, it just kept coming up. You know, I would get screenshots off of TVs, somebody somewhere in the US that knew me, and then be like, dude, I just saw you on TV. Like, this is awesome. You know? So I also think that maybe a lot more awareness for what goes on, you know, like you said, the behind the scenes is one thing, but it's so critical. And for me personally, coming from being the golf professional, I always had great relationship with my superintendents, and I always made sure that they and their crews had the same amount of opportunities to be thanked, because it is it's a very laborious task to do what all of these turf gals do and all these turf guys do. And why not bring it to the forefront and then maybe make it more interesting? And maybe the kid that loves to play golf but maybe isn't going to go on and play in college professionally would like to work on a golf course and to make that real. I think that's
our
job.
Way to stay in the game, I think, is how SFMA started branding it. Like,
yeah.
this is your ticket to stay as close to the game as you want to be. And I think that's such a unique approach to it. And again, if that's all we accomplish is, you know, getting in front of if people at a younger age, you know, that kid watching or that girl watching the US Open and being like, oh, well, if I can't make it as a pro, I want to be the person that I'm seeing on air raking the bunkers and mowing the grass. Like, how cool that is that we could get that kind of presence.
Yes, 100%. Everything you just said. Yeah. It's a
blast. Like I said, I'm so excited to see, you know, what's to come next. You guys are more on our radar than ever, and we can't wait to, you know, keep up, and please let me know any way that I can be involved. I would love to help you guys out in any way. And I think that, you know, only good things to come out of your corner.
Absolutely. And Meg, I would be remiss if we all didn't give you a shout out and thank you. You know, the what you're doing, not only as from the Pioneer Athletics side, but the voice. And I think like I shared with you in our pregame stuff, you know, I had the privilege to stand there and watch you interview Abby McNeil, and Abby talk about a trailblazer. And then, you know, and then to come around and tell our stories and to invite us to sit at your table. And that's huge, because with an advocate as yourself and the passion that you have for what you do, you bring us all a voice, and we really, really value that. And I can't thank you enough for the invite to be here today. And I can't wait to see what happens next. And I guarantee you, if I can find a way to get you more involved, I will absolutely be the one calling. You'll probably be like, hey, Cal, I'm busy, girl. I got work to do. I'll be like, this is work. This is what
we're
doing.
Oh, yeah. We can make it happen no matter what. Even if I have like a 9-month pregnant
belly,
I'll make it happen.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much again for this. This has been so wonderful, and I appreciate you sitting down with me. And I'm excited to see this come out.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to see what the edited version looks like.
Well, we like to keep it as raw as possible.
Oh,
all my mishaps we put in there for sure.
I love it. And I always have to close with this. My wish for you is that your dreams stay big and your worries stay small. Oh, I dare you to live.
Oh, thank you so much. That's incredible.
Thanks for having me today.